The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
Great to be here. How many people weren't here yesterday? Okay, good to know. Just didn't want to rehash old ground if everybody had seen it before, but since not, that's great. So this is Why Homeschool Through High School. This is very important to me, and you'll see why in a few minutes. I'm going to be presenting several quotes, a few pieces of data, and so forth. If you're interested in that, you can go to my website, drweil.com. With a phone, you have to first click on menu. If you're just with a computer, the first thing you'll see is my name. You can click on my name and find handouts. And that's where you'll find all of this. And you can like me on Facebook and things like that. So for those of you who were here last year, you've heard this little bit before, but it's worth repeating for those who haven't been here. I started my career, I got a PhD in nuclear chemistry and started my career as a university professor. And while I was a university professor, I got the opportunity to help develop something that at the time I thought was very innovative. It was called the Indiana Academy for Science, Mathematics, and Humanities. And in academics, anything with such a long name has to be very, very good. You know, the longer the title of the paper, the more important the paper. Longer the title of the institution, the better the institution. What this was a boarding school for gifted and talented students run by the state. And so if you thought your child was gifted and you wanted to get rid of your child for the last 2 years of high school, you could apply to this program. And if the people in charge thought your child was gifted, your child would come to the Ball State University campus and live there and take a blend of university courses the child was ready for and courses designed specifically for gifted and talented students. And I was brought in to do the chemistry and physics that the students did. And it was a really innovative program. Got to work with some wonderful, wonderfully talented young people. Actually ended up working with a young lady, and we ended up publishing a paper in the peer-reviewed literature. At that time, she was the only high school student I knew who was actually published in the peer-reviewed literature. So it was a wonderful program, but it suffered from a lot of things that government programs suffered for, so I didn't stay with it really long. While you're a professor, you need to expand the knowledge in your field, which for a scientist means doing experiments. Experiments cost money, so you have to find somebody to support your experiments. My experiments were funded by the National Science Foundation, which is a U.S. tax-supported institution. So if you ever paid any taxes in the U.S., thank you very much. You helped me research things that, A, you couldn't care less about, and, B, have no practical value whatsoever. But they were really good. The main point here is how I got interested in home education. At this point in my life, I was a professor at Ball State University. My wife and I were double income, no kids, didn't expect to have kids, so wasn't thinking about secondary primary or secondary education at all. However, I started encountering these students in my classes who were just noticeably better than the rest. And one of them came to my office, very few students come to your office when you're a professor, right? You know, you set aside office hours specifically for students to come and ask you questions, and very few ever do, right? You get your grading done and things like that during that time. Well, anyway, I had one of these students come into my office, and, you know, usually if they come, they're asking questions about, I don't understand this problem, is this going to be on the test, that kind of thing. He wanted to sit down and we ended up having a 45-minute conversation on the philosophical implications of the Gibbs free energy equation, which is a chemistry equation that, quite frankly, a lot of my colleagues don't understand. And me and this student had this wonderful conversation. Clearly, he had a lot of insight into physics and chemistry. And so at the end, I said, you know, you're a straight-A student in my class, and you obviously understand chemistry really well. You must have had a great chemistry class. Where did you go to school? And he looked at the floor, and he said, at home. And I didn't know what that meant. So I assumed he was too sick to go to school, right? So I said, oh, so your school sent a tutor, and you kept up with the school? He said, no, my mom taught me at home. And I looked at him and I said, so she's a nuclear physicist then? And he said, no, she never went to university. That was my first encounter with someone who said he was schooled at home. And I really didn't know what that meant, but it was intriguing me that, you know, at that year, he was my best chemistry student. If I think about my entire career, he's probably one of my top five chemistry students I've ever had. And yet his mother, who never went to university, taught him chemistry at home. And so that was intriguing. So I did some literature research, and it turned out even in the early 90s in the U.S., it was already well known that this homeschooling thing produced the best university students. So I simply started trying to promote Ball State University among homeschoolers because I wanted more of these students. So I went to homeschooling conventions and talked to them about how to apply to college, university, and encourage them to come to Ball State University. Eventually started writing curriculum for homeschoolers, so that's what I do today. I'm also still a professor right now. I'm a professor at Memoria College, which is an online master's university. But my point is, I got interested in home education not because I had children to homeschool, but because I saw the products. And the products were superior to what I was getting from the public school system. And so I became a homeschool advocate because of that. And so I actually was speaking at homeschool conventions, and I was actually writing homeschool curriculum, having never done any homeschooling myself. And if you've ever wondered, that's what it means to be a university professor. You are an expert on things you've never actually done. Right? And so, of course, the Lord has a sense of humor. The interesting twist is, after a few years of doing this, my wife and I adopt a teenage girl who had been going to public school her entire life, and we homeschooled her for the rest of her high school years. You missed the talk about that. I talked about that yesterday. So anyway, you can get the recording if you're interested in that. So that's the point. I ended up coming to homeschooling because I saw what was coming out of homeschooling at the high school level, and it is superior. And so that's why I encourage you to stick with homeschooling through the high school years. It produces better high school graduates. There's virtually, at least certainly in the academic literature, there's no question about that. So I'm sure you've never asked yourself this question. You've been homeschooling for a few years. Your child's getting a little older. I hear that some people ask themselves at some point, shouldn't I send my child to school once he or she reaches high school or middle school age? Because after all, elementary stuff I can handle, right? And I know most of what they need to know in elementary school. But when we get to junior high and especially high school, I don't even know what a child needs. What does it mean to have a good, well-rounded high school experience? Once I figure out what that is, I find out that I didn't have a very good high school experience. Because it turns out I don't know a lot of this stuff. And I was faced with the same thing when I started homeschooling my daughter. I knew science, math pretty well, math pretty well. I didn't know anything about geography, history, anything like that. And yet I had to teach her those things. Right? So you come across subjects you don't have any idea about, and suddenly you're supposed to teach them to your child. How do you do that? If we're talking about science, do I need to put some, you know, a laboratory in my basement so I can do the science classes that I need to do? And then, of course, what happens when it comes time to think about university? Now, I want to make it really clear. There are far too many students in university today. And I do not recommend university for most students. Most students don't know what they're doing, don't know what they want to do with the rest of their life right out of high school. And going to university is the worst place to figure out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. There's only one more artificial place in the nation besides university, and that's jail, right? In the end, if you want to find yourself, if you want to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of life, don't go to university. Go out in the real world. Get a job. Try to make a living. You'll figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life. Right? Going to university, there are two reasons to go to university, and only two. One, go to university if you are just a natural scholar. If you would rather read a nonfiction book than play a video game or go outside or whatever, then you might want to go to university because you're a natural scholar. The only other reason to go to university is if you have a career path in mind that requires a degree. If you don't have one of those two criteria, you are wasting your time and your parents' money at university. And worse, you're distracting the students who actually belong there, right? So I'm not saying university is the natural next step. It should not be for most students. However, you don't know what the natural next step for your child is when your child's in elementary and middle school age. So you don't want to close off any doors. So you do have to think about, what's homeschooling going to do to my university chances? And hopefully I'll answer most of these questions in the process of this talk. All right, but let's talk first about what I see as the main advantages of homeschooling. So the main advantages of homeschooling is, first of all, you stay on top of your child's educational needs. And this is really important because anytime you hand off a responsibility to an expert, you immediately stop worrying about it nearly as much. So for example, when your car breaks down, you get drop it off to the mechanic, you don't watch the mechanic fix your car. You don't make sure the mechanic's using the proper tools and all of that. The mechanic's an expert. You figure he knows how to fix your car. When you send your child to school, you develop that exact same mentality. You're putting your child's education in the hands of these experts. Now, if those experts are both competent and conscientious, then maybe everything will be okay. But oftentimes, these experts are either not competent, not conscientious, or both. And as a result, your child's education is ruined, and you don't really know until the end. When you homeschool, it's all on you. And so as a result, you take a much more active role in making sure your child has the proper education. So you go to these boring talks and you listen to these boring speakers to try and figure out what is it that your child needs, and you stay on top of that. That's a much more active role in your child's education. Makes a huge difference. Also, when you're working with your child night and day on academic stuff, you know what your child likes, what your child doesn't like, what makes your child interested, what turns your child off. As a result, when it comes time for them to start deciding what they're going to do with the rest of their life, you're a great resource in helping them. If you send your child to school, basically all you know is what he gets A's in. You know, oh, maybe you should go into math because you get A's in math. That's not the way you evaluate what someone should do. What someone should do is about their passion. If you intimately know your child's academic strengths and weaknesses, you'll be able to counsel them about that. If all you're getting is a report from a teacher, you'll have no idea how to really counsel your child on what to do with the rest of his or her life. Also, your student stays a lot safer at home than in public settings with an uncontrolled peer group and all that kind of stuff. And that's the big thing. My father, until he retired, was the assistant superintendent for one of Indiana's maximum security prisons. And one of his jobs was to matriculate new inmates. So this may be somebody who just got sentenced for something, or maybe a transfer from another prison. So the inmate has several things that have to be done and several questions that have to be asked and so forth. And so there were several state-required questions my dad would have to ask these inmates. But then he had five questions that he could ask of his own making. And one of the questions he asked for every inmate he matriculated, he asked, if you could tell your parents one thing to keep you from being where you are now, what would it be? And he said the vast majority of his inmates said something along the lines of, monitor my friends more carefully. Because even the inmates understood it's the peer group that's the real problem. And so monitoring the peer group's incredibly important. That's an important thing for keeping your child out of trouble, for having your child have a good psychological development and so forth. The jails are full of people who were exposed to the wrong kind of peer group. And most importantly, you control the moral and religious education. So in the end, they're going to come up with the main spiritual issues and the main spiritual beliefs that you want them to have. And that's really important. So those are the overall advantages of why you want to continue to homeschool. So can you do this? Can you teach junior high and high school? And the answer is, of course not. You got to be kidding. I mean, I couldn't. I got a PhD in nuclear chemistry. I can teach high school science real well. I can take a pretty good stab at teaching high school math. That's it, right? If you want to teach something, you got to be the expert. Now, it's more than that, because I know a lot of experts who can't teach, right? If you've been to university, you know a lot of experts who can't teach too, right? But in the end, if you're going to teach, you have to know the subject. So unless you're an expert on all of those high school subjects, you're not going to be able to teach them. But as a homeschooler, that's not your job. As a homeschooler, you're not a teacher. At first, you are. So when you start and your child is really young, you are your child's teacher because your child knows pretty much nothing, right? And even if you don't homeschool, you're initially your child's teacher. You teach them how to dress themselves, how to clean themselves, all that kind of stuff, right? If you start doing homeschooling, you start teaching them reading, writing, basic math. Hopefully between you and your spouse, you know that well enough you can actually teach it. But ask yourself, why? Why are you teaching these things to your children? Is it because the state tells you you have to? Is it because every other parent's teaching their children that? No. The reason you're teaching reading, writing, basic math, those are the skills the child needs to start educating himself or herself. So in the end, you're being the teacher so that the student can start learning on his or her own. And that's what you have to let your child do. So as your child gets older and can start reading well and writing well and doing math fairly well, you start letting your child take more control of the education. And you stop being your child's teacher and you become your child's tutor. So in the end, you're not the one telling them all of this information. You're the one cracking the whip to make sure they're not being lazy and helping them when they get stuck. Eventually, you even get out of that role. And you simply become the other person who's trying to figure out that paragraph in the biology book. Right? Now, this is a very natural evolution for most homeschoolers. Because generally, you start with a couple of young kids. You're an enthusiastic teacher, teaching them everything. Then you have a couple more kids. And suddenly, the older kids are on their own more. So they have to start learning on their own more. Right? And so in the end, this is generally a pretty natural progression. But if I think of the man, there's probably 100 different reasons, but if I want to think of the main reason my homeschool graduates were such good university students is because they had spent so much time learning without a teacher, learning with just someone else who was trying to figure it out. And if you or your spouse don't have time to be that someone else figuring it out, you find another responsible peer to be that other person trying to figure it out. Because in the end, at university, that's where you do most of your learning. You don't do it in class. You do it after class with a bunch of people trying to figure out what the professor was saying. So in the end, I think homeschoolers are already used to that model. I don't need a teacher to learn. I just need someone helping me along. So don't stay stuck in the teacher role when they're getting older and older. Let them take more control, more responsibility for their education, and don't be worried to simply learn right along with the student. You really can do that. All right, so can you help your child learn at this level? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Because look, if your kids can learn it, either you or your spouse ought to be able to learn it too. Now you might think, okay, my children are a lot smarter than me. And I understand that. I have been the teacher for students who are a lot smarter than me. All right. However, I have something they don't have. I have experience. And experience always trumps raw talent. Right. So I can keep up with them usually. Right. And that's all you have to do. No matter how smart your kids are, you just have to keep up with them. And your experience will allow you to do that. So if your kids can learn it, one of you can too. And that's all it takes to help them learn. Learn right along with them. And if you can learn that way without a teacher, but just with someone helping you along, that kind of independent learning, that's the most productive kind of learning you can have. Because if you teach that skill, if it were somehow possible for you to not teach your child anything except how to learn, your child is going to be ahead of most of his or her peers. Because most of his or her peers have no idea how to do that. And if you really know how to learn on your own, it doesn't matter how lousy your professor is, doesn't matter how lousy your company's training program is, you can figure it out. That's your main goal as a homeschooler, to get your child used to the idea that I don't have to have a teacher to learn. I just need the resources and I can learn on my own. Give them that confidence and give them that ability, and their vistas are truly unlimited, right? And the fact is, as special as you think you are, to a scientist, you're all absolutely average. And you absolutely average people have been doing this for a long time and doing incredibly well at it. And if others have been able to do this for a long time, you can too. So I shared these statistics, there's a lot more to go, but I shared these statistics yesterday. If I look at the Canadian test of basic skills and the Canadian achievement test, homeschoolers on average score 85% in reading, 84% in language, 67% in math, 87% in vocabulary, 81% in social studies. If I do the complete battery, a little bit of everything, 80%. Now, don't fool yourself. This isn't a 90, 80, 70, 60 scale. That doesn't mean they're getting B's in reading and D's in mathematics. No. The average student on these tests scores 50%. In fact, these standardized tests are scored so that the average is always 50. So homeschoolers are somewhere between 27 and 37% higher. Somewhere between 17 and 30%, 70% higher than the average student on these standardized tests. And that means something very directly to you, because you don't even have to be the average homeschooler. You can be a below average homeschooler and still give your child a better education than the public schools. Because if you're a below average homeschooler, your child might not rack those numbers up. Their complete battery might be 75 or 70 or 60. And if you're really, really bad, might go all the way down to 50%, at which point you're on par with the national average. It's not a high bar. It really isn't. I don't have this for Canadian schools because the studies don't publish enough. But there are several U.S. studies that are like this that compare homeschoolers to privately and publicly schooled students. And for some of those, I can actually ask a different question. Rather than look at averages, I can ask this. What percentage of homeschoolers score at least 50? So what percentage of homeschoolers are at least at the national average? The answer, 90%. 90% of homeschoolers score 50 or above on these standardized tests. So to give your child an equivalent education to the public school, you have to stay out of the bottom 10% of homeschoolers. That's all you have to do. Honestly, it's not a high bar. It really isn't. All right. Now, are you worried that you're not a qualified teacher? Don't be. Because homeschool is nothing like school. The skills that a teacher have fit a completely different set of requirements than the skills that a homeschooling parent needs to have. Not surprisingly, when we compare homeschoolers who are both certified teachers and not certified teachers, we see no difference. In a nationwide study of home education, Dr. Brian Ray says, quote, the relationship between student achievement and the teacher certification status of the parent is significant in its absence. The study found no difference in the students' mathematics, reading, language, listening, science, and social studies scores based on the teacher certification status of the parent. So uncertified parents are doing just as well as certified teachers when it comes to home education. And that shouldn't be surprising because, once again, home education is not like teaching at all. there are other studies that have been done in the U.S. that show the same result. All right, so don't worry that you're a qualified teacher. What about, am I educated enough? Excuse me. I must have picked something up on the airplane because my voice is not normally like this. Anyway, if you're worried about whether or not you're educated enough to educate your children, that doesn't seem to matter either. This is from a U.S. study, but the blue bars are homeschool students and their scores on a standardized test, and the maroon bars are publicly schooled students. And they're grouped according to their mother's education level. You can make a very similar graph for the father, but the mother is usually the one in charge of home education. So if I look at the far left, those are parents or students whose parents graduated university. In the middle, the second one is they went to university but never graduated. The third one is the parents that graduated high school but never went on to any kind of university. And the last one is they didn't even graduate high school. Notice that the homeschooling students do virtually the same on these standardized tests. But notice the publicly schooled students, the more education the parent has, the better the student does. Now, this is completely upside down compared to what most people think, right? Because in the end, at school, you've got these trained teachers who are certified, who know the subject, so the parents' education level shouldn't play a role. At home, you just got the kids' dumb old parents, right? So in the end, the kid's going to be held back by their parents' education. That's not what we find. What we find is it's the publicly schooled kids who tend to be held back by their parents' education level. And those who think about these things much more deeply than I do say what you're really looking at here is a level of parental involvement. Lots of studies show that the more educated the parent is, the more involved he or she will be in the public schooling of the child, right? However, the maximum parental involvement is homeschooling, and that's why those blue bars are so tall. Because in the end, we're really just saying these are the parents who are really, really involved in the child's education. The Fraser Institute did a very similar study in Canada. Quote, regardless of whether their mothers held a degree or did not complete high school, the children's scores stayed between the 80th and 90th percentile. By contrast, in eighth grade math, public school students whose parents are college graduates score at the 63rd percentile, whereas students whose parents have less than a high school diploma score at the 28th percentile. So whether you're talking about a study from the U.S., a study from Canada, in the end, the education level of the parent isn't important. What's important is how involved the parent is. All right? Are you worried that you can't afford all that wonderful stuff that's in the exhibit hall? Once again, that doesn't seem to matter. In Brian Ray's a home education in Canada study, he says, quote, income is not a significant predictor of achievement scores, end quote. So he's saying that in the end, the parents' income doesn't affect how well these kids do on standardized tests. This is a more detailed study from the U.S., shows the same thing. Regardless of the family income, homeschoolers score roughly the same on these standardized tests. And once again, notice all those blue bars are way above the average, which is 50%. I don't have the number for U.S. public or the graph for U.S. public schools. I seriously doubt it looks like that. I would predict that in public schools, the richer the parents are, the better the students do. But that's not the case for homeschooling, all right? Another Canadian study did it this way. The researchers tested homeschooled students and then a group of publicly schooled students. They gave several specific tests that were supposed to gauge university readiness. They looked at students who were homeschooled using structured methods
as well as unstructured methods. So, you know, some homeschoolers follow a more deliberate curriculum. Some homeschoolers are less structured in the way they approach their education. And so they group these kids like that. So they looked at publicly schooled students, structured homeschoolers, and unstructured homeschoolers. They said, quote, the children who received structured homeschooling were superior to the children enrolled in public school across all seven subtests. These subtests were all about university readiness. So in the end, the homeschooled children who had had structured homeschooling were going to be better university students than the publicly schooled students. One thing they note in this very important quote, although we made efforts to ensure that the two groups were drawn from similar population, mother's education and median income were slightly higher for the public school group. It should be noted, however, that this would have been expected to bias the study against finding a homeschool advantage. This was clearly not the case. So the idea here is when you study people, you try and make all of the extraneous factors the same. So if I want to study two groups of students and I'm not worried about their parents' income level, then I want the average income level in both groups to be the same. I want the average education level in both groups to be the same. They actually said we couldn't do that because in the end our homeschool group was just naturally a little poorer and had less education among the mothers. So in the end, they should have had a disadvantage. But in fact, the homeschoolers were still doing better, despite the fact that their mother's education and their income level should have put them at a disadvantage. They actually still did better. That's pretty impressive. Now, one thing they did say is the unstructured homeschooled students did not do as well. And you kind of expect that if you're not following a structure to your homeschooling, most likely you're not going to be as prepared for university as a group that's following a deliberate path for homeschooling. So in the end, once again, when it comes to Canadian studies, we find that homeschooled students make better university students. Now, these are all really nice things because they compare groups of people. Right? And that's the only way we can make a scientific statement about people. I've got to compare one group to another and see the differences between the groups. However, as loath as we are to admit it at the university level, students are actually people. And so we do want to look at them as people as well, not as just statistical groups and so forth. So I want to tell you the things that I noticed about my university students who had been homeschooled. Because these are the things I noticed that were different. So first of all, they were more eager to learn. Now, that doesn't mean they showed up early in class and sat at the front row and begged me to start early and things like that. No. But they did tend to show up for class. Right? And that already puts them in the top 50%. Right? And they were willing to ask questions and participate in class. This is the thing that blows most people's minds when I talk, my colleagues' minds when I talk about homeschool graduates. They're the ones who tend to participate more in class. And because I don't know if it's just classes unique to them, they've not experienced much of it before and they want to get the most out of it. But homeschool graduates are more likely to participate in the university classes. My favorite story about this is I was teaching thermodynamics to a group of chemistry students. So this is a junior level. So this is your third year at university. And it's a tough subject, right? And so I'm waxing eloquently about thermodynamics. And I turn, writing, back then it was writing on the chalkboard still. And I turn around and I got 10 students and I see 8 blank stares. And I see 2 students who've got it, the other 8 have no idea. And so I say, okay, obviously I've lost you. Where did I lose you? You guys were doing so well. Where did I lose you? Nobody says anything. Finally, one of the students, who was a homeschool graduate who didn't have the blank scare, raised his hand. I called on him. He asked a question. I answered it. And then suddenly, about 6 students realized that, you know, understood suddenly. Right? So after class, I said to him, you knew that. because you obviously understood what was going on. Why did you ask it? He said, the two guys behind me were talking about it. They were afraid to ask. So the only one who wasn't afraid to participate in class was the homeschool graduate. That just is the way it is. We don't know. And I think it is just they're more eager to learn. They want to get the most they can out of the classroom experience. They sought me out for extra help, but usually it was additional instruction. Like I said, that one student I had that long conversation about the Gibbs free energy equation had nothing to do with class. But it was very, very interesting, and that happened a lot with my homeschool graduates. They were not afraid to tackle a problem that was not explicitly covered in class. When I teach science courses to science majors, now, if it's not a major, if I'm teaching something like the chemistry class that everybody has to take, we call it chemistry for poets, I'm not going to do that. But in a chemistry class for science majors, I will always ask one question on the test that is unlike anything I've gone over in class. However, if you understand the material, you should be able to figure it out on the fly. Almost always, students leave this blank. And when I ask students, why didn't you try? The answer is always, you didn't teach it to me. My homeschool graduates were at least willing to give it a try. Sometimes they got it right, sometimes they got it wrong, but they were at least willing to give it a try because they were used to trying to figure things out as they went. So it wasn't unusual to them. And honestly, if I'm going to hire somebody, I'm going to want to hire somebody who's willing to try and figure it out rather than just throw up his hands and give up. They were more mature when it came to taking responsibility for their own education. And you could see this because these homeschool graduates actually read the book. And that almost never happens. Because in the end, I mean, the university bookstore at the end of the year, you buy this book for, you know, $150. And they'll buy it back from you at the end of the year for $20. And everybody thinks that's a good deal and everybody does it. At the Ball State University bookstore, they actually ended up offering a higher price if you returned the book still in its cellophane wrapping, because lots of students were doing that. So in the end, you buy the book, you never use it. That's very common at university. But from the questions they ask in class and the questions they ask me when they would come to my office, it was clear that these homeschool graduates were actually reading the book. That made them a cut above right away. All right? Now, you might wonder, this is all good about, you know, objective measurements and my observations, but what do homeschool graduates say about homeschooling? What do they think? Well, there have been a couple of studies on that. And so this is a study that was done in Canada. There were a bunch of questions you could just answer yes or no to. And one of them was, homeschooling prepared me well for life. 98% of homeschool graduates said yes to that statement. Prepared me well for further education. 58% said yes. Gave me an advantage in life. 62% said yes. I'm glad that I was homeschooled. 85% said yes. It limited my educational opportunities. Only 4% said yes to that. And limited my employment opportunities. Only 2% said yes to that. Now, the point here is, think about any school in Canada. If any school in Canada asks its graduates these questions, do you think the school would post those numbers? No. But homeschools did. Because in the end, even when it's the homeschool graduates being asked the questions, they recognize the advantages. And that's what happened with me. We adopted our child. She did not want to be homeschooled, but she wanted us as her parents, and we said it's a package deal. So in the end, she did not like it the entire time. She graduates. She goes off to university. 6 weeks into university, she calls, asks to put mom on the extension. And so the three of us are talking, and she thanks us for homeschooling her. Because in the end, she says, I see how lost so many of my students are when they're given a very simple assignment because they don't know how to do anything. So in the end, homeschool graduates, after they've been out a little while, they recognize the advantages, at least usually. All right. But what about university? If we want to go to university, how is that for homeschooling in Canada? If you haven't looked at this much, generally Canadian universities take homeschooled applicants. There are other hoops you have to jump through, though, in order to make this happen. So here's what the University of Winnipeg says. Quote, homeschool students will be considered for admission to the University of Winnipeg on an individual basis. Each applicant must provide proof of a completion of 12th grade or its equivalent, including mathematics and English. There's that long URL that you can't read, gives you all the details, but it's in the notes. So if you go to the notes I talked about at the beginning, that URL is there. It's also just, all you have to do is Google University of Winnipeg homeschool. And you'll find this right away. And so basically what they want you to do, since you're not going to take a provincial exam, they want you to take one of the standardized tests like the ACT or the SAT, which have been common in the U.S. for a long time. And that's one of the things you do in order to jump through their hoops. But basically, they're willing to take you as long as you jump through the proper hoops. A lot of universities in Canada will provisionally accept the student for a year. And the student takes normal courses, is treated like a normal student, but at the end of the year, they then decide whether the student continues. So there are different universities have different takes. There's a group called the Ontario Federation of Teaching Parents, and even though it's Ontario, they collect this for the entire country. So you can go to their website, and they have a bunch of Canadian universities across the nation, and they'll tell you exactly what you need. To get into these universities. So once again, it's a long thing, OntarioHomeschool.org/university/University Canada. But in the end, it's in the notes. If you go get the notes, you'll get there. So in general, like I said, they generally want some unbiased assessment, which is usually some standardized test score like the ACT or the SAT. The University of Winnipeg, one of their requirements is some samples of writing. You know, so some of the students, and you know, you obviously send them the students' best work because that's the way it's done, right? So anyway, it's not hard to get into university in Canada with a homeschool, high school diploma. You just have to jump through the right hoops to do it, all right? And if you look at what happens later, it's pretty phenomenal. So this study is called 15 Years Later, Home-Educated Canadian Adults. So it's looking specifically at Canadian adults who had been out of home school for at least 2 years and up to 10 years. And then it compared those homeschool adults to regular Canadians with the same age range. So we're keeping the same age range, comparing homeschool graduates to non-homeschool graduates in Canada. If you go all the way over to the right, these are the number of students who already had graduate degrees. And notice for whether you're homeschooled or not homeschooled, it's roughly the same. But go to the next one over, that's your bachelor degree. So the second one from the right. Notice that homeschool adults are more likely to have a bachelor degree. The next one is community college, more likely to be in community college. The next one over is trade qualification, more likely to have a trade qualification. So the next one is other kind of post-secondary training. They're more likely to be in other post-secondary training. The only place where homeschool graduates are less likely to be is just a little bit of trade school, just secondary education and nothing else, or dropped out of secondary education. So in the end, homeschoolers are more likely to be going on and getting more education or getting more training than the rest of the population. And that's because they've been shown by you that education is important. So they continue it after you're done with them. So why would you do this? Why would you homeschool through high school? First, it's your responsibility. Proverbs tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So that's your responsibility. Avoid negative role models. Dr. Fred Wirth is a mathematician at Henderson State University. His original area of interest was simply taking surveys and trying to validate them as accurate representations. And so there are mathematical models you can use to take a survey result and see if these survey results are actually reasonable. He started writing his own surveys because he found that interesting. He started giving surveys to both Christian schools and government schools. And the surveys were asking students, when's the last time you had drugs? When's the last time you had sex? Is it okay to steal something if you don't get caught? All of these different, you know, moral questions. And then he compared the answers he got from the government schools and the answers he got from the Christian schools. Here's what he says, quote, "Let me clearly say that this is one area where my observations show virtually no difference between Christian schools and government schools. The same peer attitudes show up among Christian school children as those in government school." He says, in the end, the average Christian student is just as immoral as the average government school student. And so you're not controlling the peer group by sending your child to a Christian school, at least not according to Dr. Fred Worth. You avoid the situation where you're trying to teach your child one set of values and your child is learning a completely different set of values 8 hours a day, 5 days a week in school. You can strengthen your family while emphasizing the importance of education. This is Dr. Fred Worth again. Children sent to government school are told that their education is important, but then are packed off to get that experience from strangers. Homeschooled children are told that their education is important and then see that it is important by having their parents take a central role in the obtaining of that education. That reinforces the importance of the educational experience and strengthens the familial relationships. So in the end, it's one thing to say geometry is important. Now, go to school and learn geometry. It's another thing to say geometry is important. And in fact, it's so important that even though I'm not going to use it, I'm going to relearn it so I can help you learn it. Big difference, right? Keep your child safe from the stuff that's out there, bullies, teachers, teasers, that kind of thing. Your student will get a better education. There's just no question about that. And your student will be properly socialized, not socialized by their peers, but socialized by you, all right? And your student will be better prepared for college, the workforce, life in general, whatever. But if you really want to know why to do this, let's hear from a real expert. This is a young lady who was a homeschool graduate, and like many homeschool graduates, she decided she wanted to do something different right out of homeschool. So her parents agreed to this. She put an ad in international newspapers in English-speaking countries offering her services as a nanny. So she got hired by a couple in the United Kingdom. So she went over to the United Kingdom and raised their kids for like 5 years. While she was over there, she and her mother mostly communicated by email. And her mother said that she had a friend whose son wanted to get out of homeschool and go to public school. And so this girl in the UK said, "Give me his email address, I want to write him." This is an excerpt from the email that she wrote him telling him stay in homeschool. She says, quote, "I came out of homeschool with the desire to learn even more, with an awesome relationship with God, with strong relationships with my family," you'll realize how important that really is, "with more maturity than my peers, with solid character, strong morals, values, and standards, and with true friendships. I think that by homeschooling, I was able to escape the superficiality that's so predominant in the public school scene and build on the areas and friendships that would and have lasted. I am so blessed to have the parents I have." Listen to this. "Not many are willing to give up their time so their kids can have the ultimate experience in education, and I have many friends who wished theirs would have. Don't take it for granted. It's one of the greatest gifts you'll ever receive." Now, I'm not telling you your child is going to write a letter like this. But I can tell you this. When I was thinking, what do I want my daughter to have by the time she's out of school, it's all right up there. And in the end, I think you're much more likely to get that done if you homeschool all the way through high school. Thank you very much. Am I just dismissing them? Oh yeah, I can. I got 8 minutes. Okay, I was misunderstanding. I do have time for questions. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a great question. So most of these studies, they actually control for that. So when they're looking at, when they're comparing homeschool graduates or homeschool students to non-homeschool students, they're looking to make sure the number of two-parent families are the same, that the average income is the same. They try and control for those variables as best they can. If you don't control for those things, then you're looking at a lot of other factors. One thing I didn't do here that I did yesterday, and I think I'm doing in the keynote tonight, is if you look at universities and how homeschoolers do at university, that's another way you're controlling variables, because universities have these admissions criteria so that their student population is fairly homogeneous, you know. And you see the same thing: homeschoolers on average get higher GPAs, graduate in 4 years more often, that kind of thing. Yes, sir. Yeah, so the question was about socialization. How do you deal with socialization? Or the question people have about socialization. There have been studies done on that. I haven't talked about them in this talk. I guess I'm talking a little bit on tonight's keynote, the afternoon keynote, homeschooling, discovering how and why it works. But there are studies where they actually compare things like how often you're involved in the community. Right, and homeschoolers are more likely to be in a community service as graduates than non-homeschoolers. They also look at things like an evaluation called the Vineland Adaptive Behavior Skills Set, and it's basically trying to measure how decent a member of society you are. And there are four subcategories, and one of them is socialization. What's your social network like? And in general, homeschoolers have a higher socialization score on the Vineland Adaptive Behavior Scale test. And I don't think that's unusual, because in the end, you know, one of the most important things for you to be an effective member of society and to have healthy friendships and everything is to have decent self-esteem yourself. And I think homeschoolers get that from their parents, right? Much more, because, you know, in school, you are constantly being berated by your peer group. You know, and in general, you might be berated a little bit by your siblings, but in the end, a homeschool situation, there's a lot less negative impact to your self-esteem. So there have been studies like that. And if you want to talk to me at my booth, I can give you my email address and I can send you a bunch of those studies if you want. Yes? I do, actually. I have a talk about this. This is really so. If you didn't hear her, she's asking, do you have any statistics on students leaving the faith as a result of being at university? As I recall, every study I've looked at is in the U.S. I can't think of a Canadian study I've looked at. So you have to take that into account. In general, if I look at things like objective measures of how important your faith is to you, how often do you go to service? How often do you read the scriptures? How often do you pray by yourself? And you can ask students, you can ask people these questions. In general, if you go to university, you're significantly more likely to retain an importance in your religious faith compared to if you don't go to university at all. Those who don't go to university are more likely to stop going to service and stop reading the scriptures and stop praying than those who do go to university. And the vast majority of people in these studies went to secular universities. They didn't go to Christian universities. And also, another way you can ask it, a big study, I think it was done of 10 or 20,000 students at university. They were asked just one question: has university strengthened your faith or weakened your faith? And those were your only two choices, strengthened or weakened. They were three times more likely to say strengthened than weakened. So this idea that university makes you less likely to be religious is actually not true. And, you know, in the studies, the authors talk about this. They say, you know, this goes against the, you know, general sociological idea that the more you're at university, the less religious you are. And they give certain reasons for it. Most of them are social. I honestly think the more you learn, the more it supports Christianity. You know, and this is why the first universities were Christians. Christians made the first universities because Christianity is all about learning truth. Whatever version of, you know, whatever we're talking about, whatever section of academics we're talking about. So in the end, no, we see exactly the opposite. Going to university, and there's, in the study I was talking about first, and you can actually show if you go to university, you're more likely to retain your faith. If you don't go to university, you're less likely to retain your faith. If you spend a couple of years in university, you're right in the middle. So it's a direct correlation. The more time you spend in the university, the more likely you are to retain your faith. There was a question back there, yeah. Yeah, so the question is about, you know, if you're not going to university, you're going to trade qualifications and so forth, how does homeschooling affect that? I'm not sure of any studies. I know that one study I showed said that homeschool graduates are more likely to have a trade qualification than non-homeschool graduates. So that says something. I would think that homeschooling lends itself very well to this, because if your child is naturally bent to have some sort of trade, you'll see that. You know, and you can encourage that by, you know, finding somebody who does that trade and having them sort of apprentice or at least follow along or something like that. Homeschooling gives you the advantage because, you know, if your child's not going on to university and is thinking of doing a trade, then if you can find somebody that they can work for that's in that trade, that's school, guys, you know, and that's a class, right? What makes something academic is that it's done regularly. And it's evaluated. So if you can say, you know, your child wants to be a plumber, you know a plumber who's willing to let him carry around the toolbox and follow him around and things like that, then every month or so, the plumber simply has to evaluate your child on how he's doing. And so now you have an academic class towards that trade, right? So I think homeschooling, because it's of the freedom of homeschooling, it allows you to do that.